Welcome to University Matters on Campus FM. This is Patricia Camilleri, inviting you to discover what research, projects and events are taking place at the University of Malta. I'm delighted to have with me in the studio today on Campus FM for University Matters three academic members of the Department of Translation, Terminology and Interpreting Studies. We're here today to talk about the 10th anniversary of the setting up of this important department, and I have with me Professor Joseph Aynor, who is the head of department, Dr. Claire Vassallo, who is a senior lecturer, and also Dr. Sergio Portelli, who is also a senior lecturer. Welcome to you all. I think perhaps we'd start off really with an explanation in general of what those three terms really mean: translation, terminology and interpreting studies, in the context of your academic department.
Thank you, Trisha, for this invitation, for having invited me and all my colleagues of the department to highlight this event, the 10th year since the foundation of the department way back in 2003. And to mark this occasion, the department will be publishing an anthology of literary translations, which will be launched next week at the President's Palace. It's a young department when compared to other traditional departments in the Faculty of Arts. However, I must say that before 2003, in the university, at university, there was no such thing as translation studies. I remember way back then, Malta was applying for accession to the European Union, and one of the most important things is to have an official language. Malta is becoming an official language, and that meant interpreting and translation. And the Faculty of Arts pushed in this direction to establish a department in translation and interpreting studies. It started as a part-time evening course, combining both sectors, both translation and interpreting. But then the following year, the course became full-time, and we divided the two areas of study, translation on its own and interpreting of its own. Terminology, the word terminology studies, is a recent thing. We've introduced it a few months ago. As regards terminology studies, my colleague Sergio is working a lot on this, and he has established contacts with the Maltese terminology unit in Luxembourg, and we're in contact with that department. But I leave that to him. One of the pillars of the department, besides teaching, is research. Research done by the academic staff, but also the research done by our students. Besides that, besides research, it's important as well to highlight the programs, EU or European programs, we are affiliated with. I start by mentioning the European Masters in Translation. This is the EMT, which is a partnership project between the European Commission and higher education institutions that offer master's level translation programs. The main objective of this project is to establish a quality label for university translation programs that meet the agreed standards in education. We hope that by next year the department will become full member of the EMT network. In this way, all students graduating in our department will be entitled to use the European Masters Translation logo, which is a registered EU trademark. Another important program we're affiliated with is EURETA, which is the European Legal Interpreters and Translation Association. I will not go into detail with the illegal immigration or immigration problem we have in Malta, but EURETA aims to bring together professional associations and legal translators, besides sign language as well, legal interpreters, to offer translation services, interpreting services in the law courts. Now, as from this month, an EU directive, which is binding for all member states, states that all those who are under investigation or whatnot in the law courts are entitled for translation and interpreting. The present situation: there are translators and interpreters. I will not go into detail in that, but I think that something must be done, that they are truly qualified translators and interpreters. In this sense, we are, I hope, that in the coming year we'll try to build up a certificate course in legal and interpreting translation to facilitate and to help the law courts and the interpreters and the translators who are at the moment working for the law courts will have proper training. There are other programs like optimizing professional translator training in multilingual Europe. I leave multilingualism to my colleague Claire. The project is called Optimal, which is an Erasmus academic network involving about 70 partners from 32 different European countries, including 27 within the EU. And finally, but not least, is the EMCI, which is the European Master's Conference Interpreting. This is a joint interpreting and conference services with the European Parliament, which was established in 1977. I will not go into detail here, but even this is important. I think it's the objective of the department to establish links and with EU institutions, with universities, to have an international pattern as well, to have an international background as well to that.
For listening to you speak, it's clear that this 10th anniversary is really going to be an opportunity to show what the department has been doing, how it's grown and in breadth, really. It has so many different aspects, and I think that's important. It's been wonderful to watch it grow, actually, these last 10 years, and really develop. One of the things that you say on your website is that there's obviously new technologies are important, and I can imagine in this particular area that one would be able to benefit by new technologies. I'd like to turn to Dr. Sergio Portelli too, because I know that he's been very much involved in the development of new technologies. How have things developed really since the department was opened?
Well, as far as translation is concerned, we have improved greatly in these last years. We have always taught computer-aided translation. That is very important for our students because they learn to use software in order to translate efficiently and quickly. Software is used in all language service providers, providing agencies from the European Union to the private and local ones. So it is very important for our students to know how to use these applications in order to start working immediately and to be also more employable in that way. We have kept abreast with the latest developments, so much so that we train our students on the latest versions of the most widely used applications, most notably Trados and its various applications, and also Multiterm, that is a terminology database application. So this is very important because our students are already capable of working with the latest technologies.
I can imagine, say, that in Brussels, to take an example, they would have pretty up-to-date material. I suppose we would always have to always catch up with that with our own students, so that when they go there they know, you know, what it's all about.
Yes,
from the technical point of view,
that's very important. They can go there and they can start immediately working with these technologies. Immediately they can use these applications with just a little bit of in-house training for specific in-house applications. Thanks to the improvements made at IT services in recent years, we also have the opportunity to use the training centers, the training rooms at IT services, and the applications are available in the open access areas there as well, so our students have ample time to practice and to work on them at the moment. The multi-term application we have been using in recent years, since we started developing terminology research on a more scientific level. So now students are being required to produce their own terminological data collections also in digital format in order to be used by translators and by others as well. This year we have also obtained funding from the university to kick off a project for the digitization of terminological data collections done by our students in past years when a multi-term was not taught. And we have already had three term bases done by a former student of ours who is particularly competent in using this application. We hope now that in the future students will be doing it themselves. So these applications, these terminological data collections in multi-term format will be available to translators wherever they are, be they in Malta or in Luxembourg or Brussels.
Sort of open source for the benefit of everybody.
That is the idea.
The other thing that I noticed from the website and also from what Professor Enor has been saying, that the department really goes beyond the basic training and is looking to specialization, both for better job opportunities, more expertise. You have an MA program, and I think that perhaps, Dr. Barsalo, you could tell us about that.
Tricia, thanks. The whole program is an MA program. We don't do undergraduate. So in a way, it puts us in a very interesting position that we can attract so many students, not only from the Faculty of Arts, but we particularly encourage others, I mean, engineers, dentists, doctors, to take up this course. It's a year and a half long, three semesters, and it can make use of so much background, so much different background that different students can come with, because obviously when you translate, when you're working translation and interpretation, you're working in all fields, and you need people who are specialized, who know their discipline as well as the language. What often happens is people think that they can translate or interpret because they know the law or the medicine or chemistry or pharmacy or something, but they don't know enough about the issues in translation. That it's not just language, for instance. You can't really separate language from culture. Just knowing the subject is not enough. So those people who have an interest in language, who can combine their background knowledge from their first degree with proper training and then a qualification in translation or interpreting, are a very useful resource for the country. They still have their own first profession if they like, but they're properly trained and qualified in other arenas. So, for instance, legal interpreting is one area that keeps coming up at the moment. It's a hot topic. It's not just any lawyer who can walk in and say, oh, I speak two languages, I'm a translator. There are minefields. There are issues. You can get things dangerously wrong. And so I think one of our strengths is that we are a postgraduate department, and our students are more mature, very focused. We don't offer the course as a part-time option, only full-time, so you get two full semesters of a heavy timetable of classes and a project in the second semester. That first project gives the students a bit of insight into the area of research they'd like to launch into for their longer project, which is the dissertation in the third semester. That third semester can be extended. You can then change to part-time if you like, because some do, some don't. So the first year is full immersion in teaching, presenting, a lot of in-class discussion and preparation and translation. I can speak on the translation side. The interpreting course is also very, very intense. But from translation, we touch a lot of topics, and there's a lot, it's quite an in-depth preparation.
You are listening to University Matters on Campus FM. And with me in the studio are Professor Joseph Enor, Dr. Sergio Poitelli, and Dr. Claire Barsalo. And they're here to talk about the 10th anniversary of their department. it's really a lot to do with philosophy of language as well, looking into, which I know, sort of your background, semiotics. I mean, this is a very important part of the whole issue of translating and interpreting, I would imagine.
Yeah, absolutely. It's not, in fact, the degree isn't called a Master's in Translation, but in Translation Studies. That's to tries to, you know, draw attention to the academic side of it. And there are so many interesting issues. Translation, if you like, has become a very strong contemporary paradigm of thought. There's a lot of work going on, not only in, obviously in translation, but in other areas like IT, where there's a lot of, for instance, trying to get speech onto computers. You're translating a very complex system, which is speech, which is already translated into writing, which is what you're doing in translation. But getting speech translated into another system, that is a computer, that a computer can read and work with and recognize, I mean, that is a translation job, system to system.
Yes, one wouldn't immediately imagine it as such, but I know I've had IT people on this program talking about that side of it, and it's really interesting to look at the interdisciplinarity of it and the fact that really the academics nowadays really need to know each other very well and to work together.
Yes, yes. And the other thing about language that's always been the issue, and probably why Esperanto didn't work and all of those ghosts that keep coming up, is you can't separate language from culture. You can't just think you know a language. In fact, you never translate into, you're always supposed to translate into your own language, because you can pick up the nuance, you can pick up the pragmatics of what isn't said. One of the most interesting, I think, aspects of translation is translating what is not said. It's easy to translate the words on the page, but if you know that you're working with a language and people who understand, there's so much you don't have to say that is said, that you might have to say in the next language you're working into, but you didn't have to say in the first. So this sort of, you know, sensitivity, but it's not just, you know, you have the instinct for it or not. It's a knowledge. It's a knowledge of the pragmatics, the semiotics of how we connect, how we make meaning, how we recognize what is necessary to be able to pick up and to associate ideas to words.
I have no idea about interpreting at all, but I can imagine somebody, an interpreter, looking at a politician, for example, in a parliament, and watching the body language, and not being able to know how to translate the body language, because what the person's saying may not actually match up exactly with the body language. I mean, it must be a really complex issue.
But that's when an interpreter is an interpreter and is not an interpreter. Exactly. You're not there to interpret the body language of the person. you're just doing the words.
Exactly.
On the other hand, the translator...
If I may butt in here, the interpreter's role is not just deliver the message, interpreter is the go-between, the speaker and his listeners. Now, the interpreter has not only to interpret the speech, but he has to interpret as well the tonality, the tone. If an MEP is aggressive in his speech, the interpreter has to bring about that aggression. Otherwise, who's listening is, why is he so upset when you look at him? But the interpreter is interpreting as if everything is normal.
So the interpreter has to be like an actor, know
a
how
performer.
To... A performer, yes. Yeah. That would be
and this
the
is the
word.
Sort of movement. I mean, I think that I'm not an interpreter, so obviously I... But in translation, the same sort of thing is happening. More and more, we're seeing the translator as a go-between. It's not just the words on the page. You have to somehow get the context right and also understand who you're translating for, what its function is. There's a whole ethical background to what's going on in translation. You can't just get the words across. It's, you know, who's it for? Make sure that the function is correct for what it's going to be used for. And therefore, the translator is not just a channel it is an active role. And like it or not, you are always manipulating, always changing, always adding. When you translate, the two things are not the same. I mean, it's, obviously, in two, it's not the same thing. You want to come as close as possible to the message, or you might have a brief to actually change that. You have something that's written for adults and you want to, you know, get it to work for children. Mm-hmm. So you're not always out to get like for like.
I fully agree with Claire. Perfect. What I wanted just to add something on, something we're working on in the department now is, and we've introduced it, and you know about it, it's the Evenings on Campus. And this new sector is offering subtitles in Maltese.
Yeah.
Even this year, we had a second film. It was Fight Club. Last year, it was a French film.
Le
Choriste. So that's an area we're investigating as well. We're in contact with an ex-student of ours, Giselle Spiteri-Migiani, who works with Mediaset and Rai on dubbing and subtitling. So this is a new area.
An extension, another extension.
Another industry.
Yeah.
Who knows?
Talking about industry, let's talk a moment about the job opportunities, because we've spoken about the research side and that kind of thing, but job opportunities for people out there are an interesting proposition in your area, aren't they?
Yes, definitely. The best market are the EU institutions, the European Commission, the Parliament, the Council, but even on the local scene now, we've seen mushrooming of translation agencies where before, I would say 10 years ago, there was only one or two. Now there are about 10 of them. And they're recruiting as well translators who have the degree, who have studied here in our stables, I would say. The same goes for interpreters. Most of them, I would say, not most of them, those who pass the accreditation tests in Brussels, because all students, whether translators or interpreters, they have to pass accreditation tests to be able to work with EU institutions.
Beyond their
degree. It's not just it's not enough to go there, look here, I've got the certificate. No, you have to prove yourself. Mm-hmm. So there are accreditation tests which are very, very, very tough. But our students manage and really do well.
So it's certainly an area where people can come study, research, but also at the end of the day say, gosh, yes, there is a job opportunity here for
me. What Claire was saying, especially for the legal sector, what we would like to promote or suggest, and I've already had talks with the Dean of the Faculty of Laws, is those lawyers who opt for to work with the European Court of Justice, and they're called lawyer linguists, whose main job is translating laws, rulings, whatever. We're thinking as well on those lines that before these lawyers go on a translation job, there will be a sort of a collaboration between the two faculties where they can have a few units or a course on translation. It's not just because you're a lawyer, as Claire was saying, you're a lawyer or a notary. Okay, the documents are legal, so you know. But the secret of translation, the techniques, the methodology, whatever, you need training on that. You can't be a lawyer and say you're a translator. The same thing, you can't be a teacher and you say you're, because you know a language, you're a translator or interpreter. It goes far. Beyond that.
And also, as you say, there are many, many opportunities, local and out of world. I mean, audiovisual, you know, subtitling is one of them, really fun and fascinating to work with. Maybe, especially if we start developing Arabic a little more in this country, you know, we can get a lot of Maltese work subtitled into Arabic, and there's a whole market out there, which we haven't even begun to tap into. But, you know, very reluctant on Arabic, it's time to get over that. During the course, that opportunity that each student has in their dissertation to start to investigate some area that would have caught their attention during the course, that usually gives them their direction. You know, some take on a film and prepare the subtitles or television program. Others work on something theoretical, like comparing translations or working in terms of multiculturalism, multilingualism. Others on terminology. And as we've said, all the work in terminology then becomes a database, can be published, you know, is part of the output and research of the department. Interpreters have a number of opportunities, and also locally now, especially with conference interpreting, there's a lot of conference interpreting happening in Malta. It's quite
I've been involved many times in conferences.
I'm talking rightly as Oris Clare has said about Arabic. I was surprised that the classics department, for example, at the university, have just introduced Greek, modern Greek. But it's a pity. It's an occasion to learn Greek. One applied or two. I mean, it's. But let's
leave
that.
It's going to take time.
Yes. But let's leave that
for degree plus. When they offered Latin, they had 70 people apply for degree plus to learn Latin. So there is an interest out there.
Yeah, sure.
It needs good marketing.
But Arabic, we're halfway there. You know, we practically speak it. The barrier is mental and cultural.
We offer passive languages. That is French and Djiboutis, and we offer French. We offer German. We offer Spanish. Italian. So even those who have studied Spanish here can as well continue studying and be interpreters from Spanish to Maltese or from German to Maltese. And the number is increasing, thank God.
In a bit of historical research I've been doing recently, I discovered Maltese who were at the Crimea, not to fight, but specifically to work as translators, and people who in the 1800s were in Constantinople, employed by the British government to translate in at the time with the Turks. So there is a tradition of great translators, interpreters in Malta, and now we've got it really on a professional level, which is obviously very, very important for 2013. At this point, I'd like to thank my guests, Professor Joseph Eno, Dr. Sergio Portelli, and Dr. Claire Vassallo, for coming on Campus FM University Matters to talk about their fascinating and young but dynamic department. Thank you so much.
Thank you for listening to University Matters on Campus FM. I hope you'll join us again next week. This is Patricia Camilleri saying goodbye.